The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
That's right, you're with us on SB Nation AM this morning. I saw this bit of news, Ron, and I wanted to get to it. Alex Spanos passed away at the age of 95. His oldest son, Dean, runs the team, and he's the guy that moved the team to L.A. But was Alex Spanos the guy that was running the team when you were growing up a young Chargers fan?
No.
He turned it over in 94.
Yeah, it was more Dean. I've only really known Dean.
Since 94?
To be the culprit, yeah.
Yeah. So Alex Spanos, 95 years old, built a billion-dollar empire in real estate. It was his dream to own an NFL franchise. He got the San Diego Chargers. He owned 60% of them in 84 when he initially got in on it, and now slowly over time built his shares up to 97% of the team. He turned it over to Dean in 94, and Dean moved the team to Los Angeles in 2007. But Alex Spanos passed away at the age of 95, a longtime owner of in the National Football League. Was Phil Mickelson trying to buy a share of the Chargers or the Padres? I couldn't remember. He was trying to get into professional sports.
Hmm.
Do you remember?
I don't know. Does he have that kind of money?
That's what I remember when this happened. I remember when because I can't remember. And I wish he tried to buy a share. I think it was the Padres, to be honest with you. And I remember thinking, even as rich and sloppily wealthy as professional golfers are, they don't have that kind of scratch. Like, they don't have that kind of.
Yeah, it was the Padres.
Padres, yeah. He was trying to do it with a bunch of investors. I mean, look, you got to be, like, there's, what was that line that Chris Rock uses? There's rich and then there's wealthy. Like, if you want to buy a team, you got to be wealthy. I mean, you got, like, Michael Jordan's wealthy, but your average NBA guy is just rich. They can't buy a franchise. Like, Jordan can buy a franchise. But your typical professional athlete, I mean, you hear big numbers, like he's worth $200 million. Yeah, but you need like a billion liquid.
Yeah, you need
to get involved
stupid money.
Like, you need ridiculous money to get into this game. Like, you can't. It's not. Well, I'll earn it by playing more PGA Tour events. No, you have to have family deep pocket wealth to get in on it. So, Alex Spanos passing away at 95, longtime owner in the NFL of the San Diego, now LA Chargers. SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So, Ron, have you ever thought to yourself, like, you ever played the butterfly effect game in sports? Like, if this happened, what would have been the trickle effect? Like, if this team had drafted this guy, or if this coach had stayed two more years or whatever, what could be, you know, there's a lot of ramifications that occur.
Of course. But yeah, I also do that fun. In real life, too. Like, yeah, what if I stayed with my ex-girlfriend? Where would I be now?
I've done that plenty of times.
Would I be happier?
Exactly.
Probably not.
I quit a job for a minor league basketball team when I was living in Vegas. That was one of the, while I never regret working in minor league basketball, looking back, it wasn't the smartest decision I ever made.
Yeah, I once gave up an internship with a prominent radio host who is still hosting today because they wanted me to work for free. And I was like, I'm above that.
Well, were you getting credit, though, at school for it?
Well, I would have. But I was stupid.
There's usually the internships.
I was stupid. I was, you know, in school in L.A. and I was, you know, like, yeah, we'll take you on as an intern for a prominent radio host who is very well known, probably in the Mount Rushmore of sports radio hosts.
Yeah, you never know what would have happened.
Yep.
You wouldn't have ended up with yours truly, who's not on the Mount Rushmore of radio hosts.
Oh, so you know, the foothills. You're on the backside of Mount Rushmore.
I worked at a. I want to get to this. I'll get to the sports thing in a second. I worked, my internship in broadcasting was at a television station. I had a choice to go to work in Manchester, New Hampshire, or WLVI in Boston, Massachusetts. And I chose the station of Boston because they would, like, as an intern, I was going out with the camera people to Celtics games and.
Yeah,
Boston
going up,
and
then you're going
whatever.
To Boston.
Like, it was like I was in Boston. It was great. It was only like an hour from the campus. I was finishing up my degree at the University of New Hampshire. And so it wasn't that far. And it was a really great internship. And I really learned a lot. But the difference was one of the problems with working there was, and it wasn't a problem from the standpoint of the work. It was from an intern standpoint. It was a union shop. And I wasn't allowed to touch anything. So, like, I wasn't allowed to touch a recorder. I couldn't touch any of the equipment that had to be done by union representatives, which I'm fine with unions. I'm not against unions. But when you're an intern and you're trying to learn how, like, a editing machine works, it actually helps if you could actually use the editing machine, and I couldn't do that. So, but my friends who worked in Manchester, less glamorous than Boston, they all got TV jobs afterwards because they knew how to do everything. Now, my heart was always set in radio. That's what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to be in radio. But I never had that I never had that choice between the two. Like, I never had that ability to go, well, if that doesn't work out, I'll just go back to television. I'll go television and radio. I couldn't go to television. I didn't know how any of the equipment worked. I really did not know how the machinery worked. So it was very difficult. But that was kind of a butterfly effect thing. I'm seeing this, and I saw this at the Big Lead. The thought, and it's been going around on Twitter as well, the Drew Brees butterfly effect, which I find fascinating because if there was a perfect example of how this fits in sports and the ramifications of it, it would be Drew Brees. What if Drew Brees did not hurt his shoulder?
Yep.
What if he never suffered the shoulder injury in 2005 playing for the San Diego Chargers, right? Does Phillip Rivers never gets to go there? But more importantly, even if Phillip Rivers was there and they just went, you know, we're just going to go with Phillip Rivers because he's a better option, Drew Brees would have gone to Miami. And who was the head coach at the Miami Dolphins at the time? Nick Saban. Now, is Nick Saban going to run to a bad Alabama team to go become a college coach again if Drew Brees is his quarterback, who's as good as, you know, anybody at the time without the injured shoulder? Doubt it.
Interesting.
He at least stays in the NFL for a few years. Maybe the lure of college, because he always loved college, is too strong.
Right,
remember,
Alabama.
I mean, he was going to go to. He had to build Alabama back up again.
Right,
Alabama was mediocre.
Hey, when we were younger, when we were in college, Alabama was not a football powerhouse.
Yeah,
we always heard about Alabama being this great team. It was like, where is Alabama?
Yeah, Miami. When I was Miami. Yeah, exactly. Florida, Miami, Alabama won a national title against Gino Toretta and the Hurricanes, but it was like a surprise win against the Hurricanes in 90.
But that 92. Was but that was back when national titles weren't really national titles.
Yeah,
they got that right now that we can.
No,
say,
they played Miami for the national championship.
Yeah.
So they played him in the Sugar Bowl. So they beat him. They beat him head up, and they won the title. But that wasn't a dominating Alabama team. They were led by Jay Barker, and
right.
They just weren't. They weren't explosive. And it wasn't. It was Gene Stallings was the head coach of the Crimson Tide back then. But Alabama, you're right. Alabama was, you know, a program that had mediocre years, bad years. They once had a coach that got fired for like getting involved, like going to strip clubs or something. It was like weird. It was, they were a pretty mediocre team. And then Saban took over a mediocre program and built it back up again. But he doesn't leave for Alabama if Drew Brees is his quarterback with the Dolphins.
No, and even if he does, maybe he stays like a, you know, maybe he stays like 2-3 more years.
Yeah, he stays around for a while.
Would the Alabama gig be offered?
Right, exactly.
You know, what very if all of a sudden, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want you to get all butterfly effecty, but what if he ended up in South Carolina?
Yeah,
because they're looking for a coach around that time.
That's right, very true. Good point, good point. So again, it's just this, and then, you know.
But then if you think about, okay, what if Drew Brees never hurt his shoulder, they probably never would have drafted Phillip Rivers.
Right.
Because that was the whole catalyst to drafting Phillip Rivers. So where would Rivers have gone? He was supposed to be the number one pick. Because that year, Phillip Rivers probably would have ended up with the Giants.
And what if Phillip Rivers went to a team and it just, his career didn't work out as successful as it did in San Diego based on personnel, bad coaching, bad offensive line?
Phillip Rivers would have ended up with the Giants because the whole reason for Eli being with the Giants and Phillip Rivers being in San Diego is because they swapped picks because Eli came out and said, I'm not playing in San Diego.
Right. So, but what, like if Phillip Rivers went to another team, let's say he went to a team that had a bad offensive line and he got sacked all the time and he got hurt and he never quite recovered and he just had a rather ordinary career. Kind of, does he have 8 kids or does he tell his wife, I can't afford anymore. I don't have a career, honey. I'm done. I'm not making millions of dollars like Drew Brees is. I don't have a Drew Brees contract. I can't have 8 kids. I mean, there's a whole bunch of aspects of this.
And if he does go to the Giants, do they win 2 Super Bowls?
Yeah, do they win 2 Super Bowls is right. Does he throw the kind of pass that David Tyree catches on his head?
Oh, I'm sure we could have thrown that kind of pass,
Does
Tony.
He throw that kind of pass? What about the Saints? The Saints, remember we talked about this with Brees. Brees was so important to that franchise because he comes in after Katrina. Katrina decimates the city. It decimates the population. Everybody's moved out. Everybody had to evacuate. Some come back. Some don't come back. Right? The city is underwater. There's businesses leaving. The Saints are trying to survive, but they're playing in San Antonio. And you know there's an open city in Los Angeles that's just begging for an NFL team. Do the Saints go, man, I'm sorry, New Orleans, but there's just no way we can make this work. It's just not good enough. Brees joined that team and gave it hope and like, let's build this, let's get this moving. They win a Super Bowl a couple years later. Maybe they never win a Super Bowl. Maybe they become a team that never finds its footing again. I don't know. That might be too extreme because New Orleans,
what the fun of the butterfly effect is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, yeah, New Orleans, financially they were struggling anyways. Maybe they just couldn't foot the bill for an NFL franchise because there was nothing to really rally behind.
I mean, think about it. Your season ticket holders are not, you know, are now with houses that are underwater and not even in the city. Your businesses that give you local sponsorship are suffering and they're like, we got to move out or we got to go somewhere else or there's no money to provide the kind of local dollars that you're looking for. Sure, the national television revenue comes in. Sure, all the other national dollars come in. All the merchandise that you're sharing with everybody else is coming in. So it's not like the Saints would go broke, but they're not going to have an advantage in terms of the local revenue and the ticket revenue if you have a fan base that's out of town and are dealing with the fact that their house is ruined. Right. So Drew Brees comes aboard to New Orleans and there's a feeling like, hey, we got a good quarterback here. Like we can build something here. Let's support this team in the best we possibly can. And it paid off with the Super Bowl a few years later. But that doesn't happen if Drew Brees' shoulder is fine because he's either A, gonna be in San Diego or Miami is gonna keep him and say, yeah, well, you know, if indeed the Chargers wanted to move on, I doubt that. He stays with the Dolphins. So there's a lot of factors here about it. It's amazing how that works, doesn't it? Like you find one thing and you're like, all of these storylines could have been completely different.
Can we go to that parallel universe? I'm just curious. I want the answer now. That's the only problem with doing the butterfly effect is I want the answer.
I told you this before. I want the butterfly effect of the Raiders winning the playoff game against the Patriots, the Tuck game.
That's another one.
I want that so bad because I really want to know what Tom Brady becomes if he goes into that offseason as a great fill-in for Drew Bledsoe that got us to the playoffs, but we got too much money invested in the starter kind of equation. Like, what does that become for New England?
Yeah, if he hadn't won that Super Bowl, would he still have been the starter?
Yeah, like
brought them to the Super Bowl?
You'd like to think it would. I've talked to my friends in New England who covered the Patriots at the time, and they all say, "Nah, Belichick would have made that move. Kraft would have made that move. They really, really like Tom Brady." But you don't know. I mean, a lot of times you're paying a lot of money to a guy, and he got hurt, and this kid comes in and he's playing really well and he gets you to the playoffs. But there is also that factor of, okay, next year, are we really going to go with, like, now there's more film on him. Is he really going to be capable of the adjustments that leagues are going to be making to him? Can he overcome that? We know Drew Bledsoe can. He's a quarterback that's led us to a Super Bowl one other time in his career. We know he can. Can this kid do that? Is that too much of a gamble? So my argument to them has always been, yeah, but we're not really 100% sure on that. It's easy because he won a Super Bowl to be like, well, we got to go with the guy that won us the Super Bowl.
Right. Well, but we're seeing that kind of play it out right now. I mean, at that time, we have to think back. Remember, Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady.
No, he wasn't. In fact, next year they went 9-7 and didn't make the playoffs.
Right. But we kind of saw a similar situation play out this year where Nick Foles won the team a Super Bowl. Won the Eagles the Super Bowl. I mean, it was always assumed it was going to be Carson Wentz's job when he came back, and it was.
Yep.
And, you know, but, you know, we saw the flip side of it, the, you know, the Drew Bledsoe effect, I guess.
Yeah,
instead of sticking with Tom Brady, who just won you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and so I want to know that parallel. There's all sorts of fun ones out there. There's all sorts of crazy ones. I have a one, but
or
I don't know
if Drew Bledsoe
much.
Didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
How much more of a legacy would the Greatest Show on Turf have?
Oh, that's true. How many Super Bowls would they have won?
Would have Kurt Warner stayed, would hit they have been more of a need to keep him around instead of releasing him?
I know that's a question we should throw out there. What sports butterfly effect what parallel universe would you like to see if you could change one thing in sports? It would have affected the rest of the sports world.
There's the most prominent one would probably be, what if the Red Sox never got rid of Babe Ruth?
Yeah, that would be one. That would be one. I have one.
Would the Yankees have 27 titles?
I have one. What if Aaron Boone didn't hurt his knee playing pickup basketball? Because Aaron Boone had hit a home run to beat the Red Sox. And then that offseason, he got into it. He played pickup basketball. And he hurt his knee, and that prompted the Yankees to go, well, screw this. We need to get Alex Rodriguez. And they got Alex Rodriguez. The Yankees could offer Alex Rodriguez, obviously, the money. They got rid of Boone, and the Red Sox were in pursuit as well. And one of the main reasons Alex Rodriguez was, you know, went with the Yankees is the Yankees were like, you know, we can play you. And the Red Sox were like, well, we can't give you shortstop. And he always thought Jeter would give him over, give him the position, but that was never going to happen. But that was the Yankees catalyst for getting A-Rod and the picking up the money was the fact that Boone, who they liked and was pretty reliable, had gotten a major injury. And so they went out and pursued him. There's all sorts of ones out there that are fun. That are fun to do. 800-777-2907, or if you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. The sports butterfly moment, the parallel universe you'd like to peek into if a certain thing did or did not happen in the sports world. We're talking about Drew Brees not hurting his shoulder. Could mean Nick Saban doesn't go to Alabama. Phillip Rivers doesn't play in San Diego. The Saints never win a Super Bowl. All sorts of things could have played out if Drew Brees didn't get hurt. 800-777-2907, the number on that, on SB Nation AM.
This is the gold standard.
Is Dez Bryant in 2018 a number one wide receiver on most teams? Probably not. He's probably at best a two. But looking at the Dallas Cowboys and their struggles offensively, you're kidding yourself that you don't think he would be helping that football team. And he is better than every other receiver still on the Cowboys roster. Cole Beasley barely even played. Didn't really do much for them on Sunday night, at least. Allen Hurns, Michael Gallup's a rookie. It's not fair to judge him yet, but he's still a rookie and doesn't appear to be having a breakout season as a rookie. Out of Colorado State there. Austin, who they acquired in the offseason. Now you have this. But at this time, on this roster that you have for the Cowboys, there's no way he would make you better. That here we are entering week 6 of the NFL season, and Dez Bryant still does not have a team to play on.
The Gold Standard with Alex Gold. Weekday nights from 10 to 1 Eastern on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio.
Every weekday from noon to 3 Eastern, tune into SB Nation Radio for live sports talk from Las Vegas. Get the Vegas angle on all sports from the NFL to the NBA on Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault. Follow Matt on Twitter at Sports Talk Matt.
Hi, this is Kyle Lowry from the Toronto Raptors, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
Follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and listen all the time at SBNationLive.com.
This is Over the Night with Matt Harrop.
Drew Brees is the ultimate example of a system quarterback. The system that he was in San Diego was not working. 3,284 yards, 2,108, 3,159, 3,576. Those were the last 4 years in San Diego. Then he goes to New Orleans. 4,418, 4,423, 5,069, 4,388, 5,476, 5,177, 5,162, 4,952, 5,208. He has 5,000 yard seasons with the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees is a pioneer in terms of how we look at NFL prospects. You might not be the most talented person on the face of the earth, but there's no excuse for people to work harder than you. That is something that I take to heart every single day. And Drew Brees said that to his kids. He told him, he said, work hard and you can achieve anything. I thought that was a really special moment.
Over the Night with Matt Harrop, Monday through Friday from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern on SB Nation Radio.
Headed to Texas to watch your team play, but don't know where to go for that pregame drink? Visit culturemap.com for all of the hottest spots in Houston, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, and San Antonio. From the most popular bars to those favorite dine-in gems, Culture Map has it all. Then before you leave town, why not visit some of the best places to shop or see some of the sights? Culture Map has extensive coverage on all the things to do in the city you're in. So check out culturemap.com. That's culturemap.com.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 800-777-2907 is the number. We're talking sports butterfly effect and what would have happened if Drew Brees didn't get hurt. When it comes to the safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle's brakes. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are the exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best Select, and Wagner Thermo Quiet, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Do you remember that show ESPN used to do, Five Reasons You Can't Blame? Do you ever remember, that?
Yeah.
Like Brian Kenny hosted it, and they would take something that happened in sports, and it was a really well done show, and they don't do it anymore. And I think there's more and more. Like, that's one of those shows you could have just kept doing. Like, instead of giving us Kornheiser and Wilbon every day for the last 20 years, they should have made more shows like Five Reasons You Can't Blame, because there's still more and more stories like that. So they would take something that is a popular belief in sports, right? Like, they would say, like, Scott Norwood choked in the Super Bowl, right? And then they would say, okay, here's five reasons you can't blame Scott Norwood for missing the kick in Super Bowl 25. And they would go through the common beliefs, right? Why people believe that. Oh, he was a good kicker during the season, or, you know, a number of things that support the reason
had
that
the
people
Bills
believe that.
Held on to the ball or converted that third down.
Yes, exactly.
You know, to put them in red zone lines, opportunity. Right? They may not have needed that field goal.
And then they go into the reasons why you can't, like the reasons why you can't blame Norwood. Like they went to, you know, the field was in terrible shape, and it was. You know, it was an awful Super Bowl field. It got really torn up. The fact that it was 47 yards and it was on a angled hash mark. You know, like a number of things like that. So it's really, really good. It was a really good show. I always liked it because I'm one of those people that likes the larger story than the conventional wisdom, right? I'm always more like, there's more to this than meets the eye. There's more to this story. That's why I always liked Sports Century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always liked the documentaries they did in 2000, I think, where they would take an athlete and they would, you know, do a bio on them and give you the full story.
Well,
it was almost like a behind the music.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was ESPN's Behind the Music.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one
pre-30 for 30.
Oh, yeah, pre-30 for 30. One of my favorite ones on Sports Century, and we're talking, I mean, I can't believe that was like 18 years ago. They used to run.
You shut those. Your mouth.
I know. Because they did like the top, they did like the top 100 for the century. It was going to be a year 2000 kind of thing.
Yeah, so top 100 athletes.
Yeah, top 100 athletes. Remember when they did Secretariat was in the top like 10. And people went crazy. But like those who watched Secretariat were like, no, I'll stop it, you kids. Secretariat was amazing. Like unbelievable.
Wasn't number one was Muhammad Ali, right?
No, number one was Michael Jordan.
Wasn't it Michael? Okay.
That drove people crazy too, because they thought Muhammad Ali should have been the number one athlete of the century. And talking 100 years, but the Muhammad Ali documentary was really good. It was really good. And there was one moment in the Muhammad Ali documentary that, because when I was growing up, I grew up in the pre-internet age, right? So if you were world famous, you had to really, really do some amazing things to be world famous, right? Like to be in the papers across the globe.
But you had to be
a prominent figure.
You had to have won a war.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Right? Yeah. So like nowadays, it's easy, right? It's easy to be world famous, right? You could be a college football player that makes an amazing catch and run, and people in England may know who you are because things go viral, right? Or whatever. But back when I was a kid, back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, in order to be world famous, I mean, you had to penetrate a lot of barriers. And when I was a kid, I heard over and over again that Muhammad Ali was the most recognizable face on the planet outside the Pope and political figures, right? So he was probably the most recognizable celebrity, like entertainer in the world, right? And so I was like, it was fascinating to me. Like he could go anywhere. There was not a place. There wasn't a street in the world he couldn't walk without being famous. And again, I know for a lot of you young people, that is like who watch these guys who, YouTube sensations. That was a big deal. That was a really big deal. But there was one story in that Sports Century that made me, it still hits me to this day when I think about his level of prominence, how people perceived his importance in the world. So there's this story that Muhammad Ali goes to this hospital and there's this little boy, and this little boy is dying of cancer, and he's going to fight George Foreman. So he sees the little boy. The little boy's got a little cap on his head from the chemo, and Muhammad Ali asks him about it, and the kid says he's got cancer, and Muhammad Ali says, "I'm going to beat George Foreman and you're going to beat cancer. I'm going to beat George Foreman and you're going to beat cancer." And he goes and he beats George Foreman, and word gets to Muhammad Ali that the boy he met is not doing good at all, and he's really on his last legs. And Muhammad Ali decides to go back to the hospital. He's going to go cheer up the boy. And the little boy is laying in the hospital bed, and Muhammad Ali comes up to him, and the kid's got these beautiful eyes and these big eyes, and he looks right at the champ. And Muhammad Ali says, "I told you I'll beat George Foreman, and you're going to beat cancer. And I told you you're going to beat cancer. I beat George Foreman." And the little boy says, looks up at Muhammad Ali and says, "No, champ, I'm going to meet God. And when I do, I'm going to tell him I know you." And that's how big Muhammad Ali was. Like that he was bigger than any athlete, any person, that you would tell God that you were friends with Muhammad Ali. Like, I don't think there's a world athlete like that. Maybe Ronaldo, maybe a soccer star, but I don't think there's a world athlete like that anymore. I don't think there's a universal athlete that, you would go, he's larger than anything. Like in my perception, he's larger than anything that's out there. And that was Muhammad Ali. And that's why that when Michael Jordan, as great as he was and important as he was, when he was number one, people thought it was more of a marketing thing than any realistic evaluation of the century athletes.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so Ron has got another sports butterfly effect that you want to get to. But before we do that, if you're having a tough time falling asleep, I did too. But guess what? I got my pillow, and now I get the best sleep every single night, and you can too. And not only can you get the best night's sleep with a MyPillow, you can get two premium MyPillows for the price of one. Just go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WINNER. You can also call them at 800-513-3363, 800-513-3363. But go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code WINNER, get two premium MyPillows for the price of one. This is the most comfortable pillow I've ever owned, and I've owned a ton over the years. And I've done everything. I've done everything from foam. I've done everything from goose feather. I've done everything from the other ones that's really light feathers that's just too soft. I've gone from firm to soft. I mean, every type of pillow you can imagine. And this is the first pillow that I feel like gives me the proper support for my head so I don't toss and turn. I don't need to toss and turn. It stays cool throughout the night so you're not readjusting in the middle of the night or having to flip it over. Cool like the other side of the pillow, as the saying goes. No, not with my pillow. You're going to get to sleep and you're going to stay asleep because your head is going to be properly supported and it's going to put you in that rest, that deep REM sleep that you need. Listen, I've done mornings. I've done overnights in radio in my career. And no matter what shift I work, whether it's afternoons or whatever, I just struggle with sleeping. No matter if I can get plenty of it or not enough of it, I just never get enough sleep. And this now with this pillow, I am falling asleep quickly and I'm staying asleep. And that's the most important thing, to be rested. So go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code WINNER, get two premium MyPillows for the price of one. And you're going to like having two pillows, because if you have a significant other in your life or a better half in your life, they're going to want one too. So get two premium MyPillows for the price of one. Go to promo code WINNER. Try it out. MyPillow.com, machine washable, made in the USA, backed by a 10-year warranty. All of those are good things. But the most important thing is it works. It's going to get you the night sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com. Promo code WINNER, two premium MyPillows for the price of one. All right, so what is the second butterfly effect factor that
the
you
second butterfly effect factor that I have? It might be a bit of a stretch.
Okay,
but
that's okay.
I'm curious anyways. If Magic Johnson had never contracted HIV,
oh, that's a great one.
Would Michael Jordan be as big as he was, or he became, because he kind of became the face? Like, Magic was arguably the greatest basketball player of that era. And if he never contracted HIV and missed all that time because of that, because of the disease.
91, 92, right?
Right.
Around the beginning of the dominance of the Bulls.
Right.
Because Magic, Michael started it by beating Magic in the Lakers, but
Magic's there would have been a good rivalry. Magic obviously wasn't feeling well. And we've come to find out later on afterwards that he wasn't 100% during that time. You know, there was probably a lot going on in his mind.
That's a good one.
You know,
that's a good
one. You know, to the point of, you know, greatest century athlete, I mean, does Michael Jordan become the mogul that he became? I mean, I'm certain he still does, because, I mean, he was in a high profile market. He was the face of the Bulls and just played well. But I just kind of sit there and go, okay, but what if Magic was able to have that same sort of rivalry that he did with Bird, where obviously Magic is bigger than Bird?
That's pretty good. I like that one. Cause you start thinking about the West. Remember, one of the things about the West, there was almost like a power vacuum, like, because Michael beat, like, in the early part, he beat the Lakers. He beat Phoenix and he beat Portland early. Not in that order. I think it was Lakers, Portland, Phoenix in the first three championships. So there was like a little bit of there wasn't a dominant Western team, and that could have been the Lakers if Magic had stayed there. That's a really good one. All right, staying with Jordan, how about this? What if the Major League Baseball players don't go on strike in 94, and Jordan, who did not want to cross the picket line, stayed in minor league baseball? That's according to the documentary Jordan Rides the Bus. I don't necessarily believe it, but according to the documentary Jordan Rides the Bus, Jordan was dedicated to baseball. He really did want to play baseball. He didn't want to go back to the NBA. He really did want to make a career in baseball. And he was playing better in Birmingham late in the season and was committed to play in the Arizona Fall League that winter. But the baseball players went on strike, and Jordan, being a union guy from the NBA, didn't feel comfortable with becoming a potential scab player. So that, according to the documentary, was his decision to go back and play in the NBA. He just said, I can't be in baseball anymore. If the players are on strike, I don't want to be part of a system in the minors that could be used to, because they had talked about using scab players in the beginning or minor league players in the beginning of the season. He didn't want to be a part of that, so that's why he went back to the NBA. I don't buy it. I think the reason Michael Jordan went back to the NBA is because David Stern said, okay, your suspension for gambling is over. You can come back.
Yeah.
That's my conspiracy theory.
No, it's very true.
I wrote that for a very long time.
No, at that time, I mean, there was a real problem, but you didn't want the face of the franchise or the face, I mean, face. I'm going to say franchise because, I mean, I'm saying the NBA is a franchise.
As the association.
The association, you know, to be in that kind of trouble.
Oh, he was in that. I mean, he was going to casinos during the playoff games. And there was all sorts of, he's hanging around with these mob gamblers. And all. I mean, there was all sorts of stories about Jordan at the time. That makes that conspiracy theory believable. That wasn't just a pie in the sky.
It may not be true, but, you know, we're going to roll with it.
Probably is. I've always said there were two conspiracy theories I believed, my whole life. That's it. And that was Jordan in the suspension and the Patrick Ewing and the Knicks. That was the only two. Like, everybody else would give me all sorts of ones like, oh, they're manipulating games. I'm like, nah, it's hard to do. It's hard to keep everybody quiet. It's very hard to manipulate games. And I don't buy that. And I don't buy this. But the two that I believe involving David, because they both involve David Stern, and I think David Stern is crafty enough to have pulled this off, was I got to give the Knicks the number one pick to get Patrick Ewing. So I don't care how he did it. I mean, people have got their suspicions about how in the world he pulled that envelope out for the Knicks to be the number one team. Frozen envelope, fold in the crease. I don't care. I don't even want to know. I just know he did. I just know they rigged it so that the Knicks would get the number one pick in 85. That I'll still believe. Now, the Jordan one I've gone back and forth with, but there's probable evidence, not evidence, but probable circumstances to sort of make the assumption that that could have happened, where David Stern sat Michael Jordan down and said, hey, listen, man, you got to disappear for a little bit. This got to calm down. Look, you're the number one draw I have, but if you get caught like Pete Rose, I can't save you. Like, we got to let this play out and let this die down. Because if you're caught with these gamblers on golf courses and you're owing a significant amount of money, like I cannot have this in a league. You may be the biggest thing I've got. You may be the biggest draw I have, but I can't save the association if you're linked to mob gamblers. Because remember the Pete Rose thing? Remember when people were always arguing about, Pete Rose never bet against the Reds, so there's no crime in that. The people don't understand. The problem when you it doesn't matter who you bet with or against when you're in professional sports, because there's always the potential that you're in over your head. And why would you dive into your personal fortune to pay a gambling debt when a gambling debt can be eradicated if you just make some changes in the way you play the game? Like, why would you go to your bank account and be like, I owe $1.2 million to this mob gambler, better make a withdrawal, when the mob gambler is like, just miss a few shots or just strike out a few times or play a pitcher on short rest or do a number of things and make a number of decisions to cost you a game. Like, of course you can, of course you would do that. You would go down that road. That was always the threat. So I believed the Jordan thing for years. Then Steve Kerr came out and said, that's all baloney. David Stern said it's baloney, but that's what they want you to think, Ron. That's what they want you to believe.
That's one of those. I mean, there's just way too much evidence to support.
Yeah, I just still like it.
If we had a butterfly effect with that, what if that actually, what if that story actually came out? Would Jordan be as infamous as Pete Rose?
Yeah, it's true.
Because obviously Pete Rose is the greatest baseball hitter of all time.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And we'll probably never see the Hall of Fame. I mean, you have one of the all-time great, a guy who, you can make an argument that belongs in the Mount Rushmore of baseball. not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's one of the best baseball players who ever played.
Yeah, not just – no, he wasn't just a hitter. I mean, you know, as a fielder, too, he was
– everything
about
him.
He was really good. I mean, a good all-around player. What if Jordan was that way because of, you know, betting on sports?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And getting in trouble with all the gambling that he was into. Now you're talking about, you know, guys certainly like, you know, the George Washington of greatest NBA players of all time, not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I see. See, there you go. Us walking down conspiracy lane. I like that. I like that. No, I still ride with that one. I still go with that one. I'm trying to think of some other ones. How you can change sports history. And I think the Drew Brees ones is great. I mean, it's
really, yeah, oh
yeah. The Drew Brees ones is so many different angles to it. Good God.
No, but I think the one I'd really want to know, you know, just the aftermath would be Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Babe Ruth, if he stayed with the Red Sox.
If he had stayed with the Red Sox, where would the Red Sox, be what the Yankees were? Or would the Yankees finally, because I mean, the Yankees in the 50s, you know, they were probably the most dominant team ever. But would they have gotten there had they not had the early success from, you know, the 1920s and 30s with Babe Ruth?
Yeah, and that's a good point because, look, the Giants and the Dodgers, you know, they were beneficial of the New York of the New York market as well, but they weren't. That's the Yankees built up so much success and so much power because, look, the Yankees. One of the things the Yankees could do back in the day that other teams had struggled to do was they had a gigantic scouting department. So, like, if Mickey Mantle's hitting home runs in Oklahoma, Yankees could be there quickly. Like, they had a great network of scouts that other teams just couldn't afford, didn't want to pay. Some owners were really cheap, didn't want to do it. But do the Yankees get to that point without being the super success that they were in the 20s and the 30s, Murderers Row and all that other stuff? Do they become that successful? Because, look, Brooklyn certainly could have afforded, but I'm sure Branch Rickey and, I mean, the guys who owned the Dodgers were like, nope, can't do it. We're not putting together that kind of scouting department. The Giants the same way. Can't put together the scouting department. But the Yankees did because they saw the benefit of it, but maybe they did because they were economically more powerful than everybody else because of having Ruth. I mean, they paid him $100,000 a year in the 1920s, which is a gigantic sum of money that other teams would never have been able to pay. I mean, like, as popular as baseball was in St. Louis, they probably couldn't afford $100,000 to pay Babe Ruth. But the Yankees could. The Yankees could. So yeah, that's fascinating. It's kind of a cool exercise in sports history. 800-777-2907 is the number to join us on SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver, as we roll along on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Guess who's getting ready to go to London, Ron Culver? John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders. Going to London this week for their game at Wembley Stadium. You think the London crowd is going to be behind John Gruden, or will they taunt him like we are doing in America on the road?
They don't know.
Yeah, they do.
They don't know.
Yes, they do.
How?
They follow. Oh God, yes. They
don't know.
Yes, they
Gruden
know.
And the Raiders.
I have talked to many. I have done many radio bits with people overseas. Every London game, and they actually follow this stuff.
Who are the Raiders playing?
Seattle.
Ah, it's a terrible game for us to send to them.
Yeah.
NFL, we should be ashamed.
Yeah, I know. We send them. We send them our trash.
We do. I mean, they send us Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, yep. Arsenal, all the top teams, and we're sending them Raiders, Seattle, Raiders, Seahawks.
I don't understand. I mean, if you want this to be bigger, send them good games. I know it's only one of like I think three games they get. Remember when it was only one? Like, you know, that was it. Jacksonville still goes one game. When do you think Jacksonville becomes big enough that their fan base says, no more of that? No more taking a home game away from us.
Never.
So give it to London. No, it's one thing for the ownership not to do it, because the ownership is not going to do it. But is there going to be outcry in Jacksonville if the team is good enough to say, because let me tell you something, that would never happen in Pittsburgh. No, that would never happen in Denver.
No, but I mean, you
there
also
are
have,
places in America
have
that,
a
that
rooted
could never
fan
go
base
down.
That's gone on for centuries. I'm going to say centuries, even though I know it hasn't been one. But
well, I remember the 1765 Steelers were not very good. So
granted.
The 1810 one team was pretty decent.
That's before they realized, like, you know what? You probably shouldn't be playing with a live pig.
Right. Let's kill the thing. That might make it easier to
just
throw.
Skin it. Oh, pig skin. That's what we need. Don't just.
I'd be good. I would say centuries, too, because we are playing in two different centuries.
There
so
we go.
That works fine, Ron. That totally works.
All right,
fine.
We're sending London, Raiders, Seahawks, then in a few more weeks, Eagles, Jaguars.
That's going to be pretty good.
And then a few weeks after that, Titans, Chargers.
See, the Jaguars have been going there every year, and they were so bad for years. Now that they're good, I wonder if there's a Londoner going, I've been rooting for the Jaguars since they started coming here, and now that loyalty is starting to pay off. It's a bad British accent. It's the best I could do, so forgive me.
Yeah, you need a more Cockney in there.
I called up one London bar, I wanted to know what Welsh rabbit was.
Welsh rabbit?
Yeah, because it was I just
isn't that dinner?
To know. Yeah.
You know we're sending Mexico?
What?
There's a game in Mexico City this year, too.
Which game is that?
Chiefs, Rams.
My God, are you insane? Are you insane? Really? Pull that game and send another game. Come on. That game's going to be played in Mexico?
And there's a good chance those two teams, when they do meet up, still are undefeated.
Undefeated! God bless you, Mexico, for getting that game. Too bad for Kansas City or Los Angeles.